Welcome to Profiling Criminal Minds. I'm Dan.
And I'm Dr. Redmond.
And before we get started, I just wanted to give you a heads up. While you are listening to this in like November, December, I haven't checked the calendar, we're recording it while Minneapolis is literally on fire. So we weren't planning to get political in this episode because, I mean, there's a little politics in the first episode, but it's also the dumbest episode of Criminal Minds ever. But anyway, we might wind up, you know, hitting politics a little harder than we planned. And just FYI, in case that's something that bothers you, consider yourself duly warned. Now, yeah, let's get to it. Synopsize away, please.
Okay, killer app.
I'm sorry, I even laughed at the title.
When a workplace shooting claims the lives of three employees at a Silicon video game company, the BAU works with the Department of Homeland Security to determine why the victims were targeted. Meanwhile, Prentice confronts Alves about the events surrounding his final confrontation with Peter Lewis.
Okay. So let's start off with the Mr. Scratch thing. They say it's 100% fine to let somebody fall off a roof. I don't, they're like, that's exactly what the FBI wants you to do. I'm like, I don't know if that's true. It sounds pretty awful, but maybe that is true. And that is what the FBI.
And besides, as far as I am concerned, when I watched that, he let go he let go. Alves was just about to move towards him to grab his arm.
Yeah,
he was. And then Scratch, with a smile on his face, let go.
That is entirely possible. Like, there's a couple of ways to read it. Yeah. No, there's a couple of ways to read what Scratch did. And I want to say, if Alves wanted to save him, the way to do that, just FYI, I'm not saying you're ever going to be in this situation, but the way to save someone without risking your own life is to take off your belt and give them your belt to grab. That way, if they try any pull you down nonsense, you just let go of the belt. There's no way for you to get to pull down. You sit at the edge of the roof, you put your feet on the, you put your feet against the, what do you call that thing? The part of the roof that comes up. Whatever they call that part of the roof.
The edge.
Well, no, but it's not the edge. The edge is the actual thing. It's the little mini wall that comes up at the edge of roofs to keep, so drainage works properly. And so I'm sure tools don't roll off the edge. Put your feet on that, throw them the end of the belt, and help pull them up. That's what you can do without any risk to yourself, just FYI. But yeah, there are a couple of ways to read that. You're right, that maybe Peter Lewis let go. I still don't know why he died. It was only three stories. Like, it seems like you would have to purposefully try to land flat on your back to get killed in a situation like that. Because, I mean, you'd shatter your legs. But if he fell straight down, which he seemingly should have, I don't feel like Peter Lewis should have been killed by that.
No.
But you know what? Luke didn't want to save him. Maybe he didn't want to get saved. So, the end. But yes, let's get into this episode.
Yes. Let's get into
the actual plot of this actual episode. And I mean, I'm not saying it's the worst show on TV, Criminal Minds. But the thing is, Criminal Minds tends to live within the realm of realism for the most part. I.e., it's set in the real world. But you watch this episode and I'm like, am I watching an episode of NCIS? Because this is just ridiculous. Everything that is happening this week is ridiculous. To an almost offensive degree. So, just a little FYI to people. If you've ever been near a drone, you know that drones are unbelievably loud. They are incredibly loud. Because the amount of downforce you have to make to keep something in the air creates a lot of disturbance in that air, and that's where noise comes from. So, first off, drones, incredibly loud. Second off, and that's just a regular drone. That's just a toy drone. If you, the gun he's shooting is, it's an assault rifle that has had the barrel removed to make its profile smaller. So, it would be incredibly inaccurate. But that, plus the dual magazines, would make it also it's possible it's one of those carbine style pistols that actually shoots 9mm. That's not important. What's important is the dual magazine it's attached plus the gun itself is going to weigh in the neighborhood of 10 pounds. So drones are noisy on their own. When you adapt that drone so it has to lift 10 pounds of weight, it's going to be exponentially louder because that whole drone weighs maybe 5 pounds and it's noisy as hell. So you have tripled the weight of the drone to make it so to make it powerful enough to do that, it is going to be so loud you could like it would be impossible to not hear it. Also, this episode expects us to believe that someone flew a drone inside of a building without anyone noticing or hearing it, shot three people, and then flew the drone out of the building without anyone noticing it or hearing it. What?
It's called Say What?
How? How does any of that work? Like, in what planet does a lick of that make sense? You know? No, like it was one of the most ludicrous things I've ever seen on an episode of Criminal Minds. And it's the show Criminal Minds. No,
Yeah.
like it's absolutely insane that any of this could have happened. You would have heard the drone. People would have seen the drone. And by the way, a drone like that, yes, you can retrofit a drone to have a gun on it. 100%, that's a real thing you can do. And in fact, that the governments of the world are working on. So that's not inaccurate at all. But if you tried to put an automatic weapon on a drone, no, because the recoil from firing that automatic weapon would just kick the drone all over the place. It would be ridiculous how much that drone would be kicked around by firing, because we are told that the first guy we see shot, I mean, we only see like three bullet holes in him. We are told that he is shot 17 times. And that the cop is shot like 13 times. I'm like, in 1 second. And yeah, there are guns that can fire that fast, but no way on earth would a drone be able to accurately hit someone with 17 bullets in 1 second. That's just not anything a drone could manage. Because think about it, it would be almost impossible for a human being. Here's how recoil works. It would be almost impossible for a human being who weighs 200 pounds and, you know, so has that much, what do you call it, mass to keep momentum from overwhelming them. It would be almost impossible for them to control the kick of a rifle firing that quickly. And we're expected to believe a drone, which again weighs 5 pounds, could somehow control that kind of. So that's just all of the technological reasons. A, this couldn't have happened. B, they would have known about it immediately. Okay, so that's just full stop. So technologically makes no sense. Now, the part you can weigh on the way the plot makes zero sense.
I don't even know where to start.
It's
I mean,
tough.
this, okay, I mean, particularly in the sort of world we're living in right now,
Yeah.
I'm just going, oh my God. First of all, you've got the guy who heads this private company
Yeah,
that's
Eric
doing,
Prince.
yes, from CSI,
Yeah,
Wallace Langham.
Wallace Langham playing Eric Prince,
Prince,
the guy who runs Blackwater.
Blackwater, yes, who's
Yeah.
the brother of the.
Betsy DeVos, the education secretary.
There you
Who,
go.
fun fact, may be the least educated woman in America.
Never
So,
mind.
you know, don't, just a fun fact about her. Anyway.
Well, you know. Anyway, you know, first of all, I watch it and I'm going, you sent out personnel. Nobody would send out that kind of a personnel letter,
No.
period.
Oh my God, the scene with the letter is one of the like the idea that okay,
They
so
would send out a
even if
letter.
everything had gone great, Even if it had been the perfect mission and everything had gone perfectly, you would not send a letter to a drone pilot saying, two thumbs up, you killed 500 people while you were working for us. No yeah. one would ever do that for any
you
reason.
You would never, 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 never. Not even Eric Prince would do anything like that.
Stupid.
Not even Donald Trump would do something that stupid.
Well, but what I love is, so the premise of the episode is, he kills the six coders because those six coders were specifically hired to make drone interfaces for flying and shooting drones as much like a video game as possible, right? Rather than an actual flight simulator, like as much like a video game as possible as opposed to a flight simulator, so that people would be emotionally distant from the violence they're doing to make it easier to keep drone pilots on mission and not thinking about the crimes they're, the war crimes.
Okay, wait a sec. It's not just that. The problem with it is that they hired coders because the guy who is the unsub,
yeah,
right, is also a gamer. Like they were, yeah. they hired coders and gamers who are not part of the military, who are not.
No, but my point is, right? But my point is that they wanted to make drone controls more like a video game,
yes.
so it would be easy to emotionally distance. But if that's your goal, if your whole goal is to make your people emotionally distant from the thing they're doing by making them think they're playing a video game, why would you then send them a letter reporting on all the murders they've committed? That's the opposite of what you're trying to do here.
Nobody in the government, this is something...
Well, it's not
they,
the government, but yes.
No, yeah, but this company is
government contracts,
hand in
yes.
glove, hand
Absolutely.
In glove with the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security, and there is no way this mistake they made would have been buried.
Of course. And that's the thing. Even if you believed everything about it, even if you believe they're hiring gamers, even if you're believing even if you believe they're gamifying drone controls to make to emotionally distance you from the murders you're committing, even if you believe all of that, the second this corporation found out they blew up a school full of children, they're not going to tell the guy who blew up a school full of children that he blew up a school full of children. They would have covered it up.
He wasn't even military. I mean, if he had been military,
it would be one thing.
It would be one thing, like, you know, like, because if he was military, he probably would have known that there was something had gone wrong with the drone because that wasn't his target. Right. So then it would have been.
Well, no, it was his target. It was just bad information. It was just bad intel.
Well, no, they were talking at one point about maybe the drone misfired.
No, they said that was a possibility, but no, it was like he did drop a bomb on what he was told was he was told he was blowing up a terrorist training camp, but it turned out a school.
Yeah, it turned out he blew up a school full of children.
Exactly.
Right. And so now, I mean, what's believable is it sends him off the rails.
Of course.
That's the only believable thing in the whole entire episode.
But what's not believable is that he ever would have found out he did that.
Well, yeah, no. What I'm saying, the only believable thing in the episode is that when he found out, he actually decided he had to do something about it.
Yeah,
now, okay,
absolutely.
Okay, like that's believable, but nothing about the episode is believable. So consequently, he would have never known. He would have just thought, and why the hell the military would let a non-combatant a civilian?
Well, that is something that mercenaries actually do. That's something that mercenary companies actually do. Mercenary companies are very bad at their job.
Well, yeah, come to think of it, yeah, I got to shut up about.
That's
another believable part in this.
Yeah,
right?
That they would have just hired some guy to do this. You know what? Mercenary companies might actually do that.
Yeah, but why would the Department of Defense put out, you know, like allow a private company to handle these drones?
Because he donated a lot to Donald Trump's. Like, no, that's it. That's the reason. Because he donated a bunch to Donald Trump's campaign. That's why.
Yeah, and
It's there's
so
a fun fact about Eric Prince is, and I'm not saying this is related, this is what inspired the episode, but Eric Prince spent like 10 years trying to get the government to sign off on him being allowed to bomb things.
that's
Like, all
right.
he's ever wanted to do is have his air force, and the US government was always like, no, you can't have an air force. Like, under no circumstances can a mercenary company have planes that are armed, under any circumstances. But that was all before Trump was in charge. So once Trump's in charge, maybe they're like, yeah, you can have drones with Hellfire missiles on them. Why the hell not? You know, we played golf together at Mar-a-Lago. Blow up all
Yeah,
the
go
children
ahead.
you
Yeah.
want, you
Well,
know?
no, okay. Now here's the thing, and then that's the thing that upset me about this episode, is that even if it was stupid, it had a
Yeah.
chance to make a point,
Yep.
and it walks away from it.
Oh, it gets terrified about its point at the end of the
At
episode.
the point, like, I don't know who allowed this episode to be written,
Yeah, I know.
and in some ways, because they so patently avoid doing anything political.
Yep.
And then they've got this thing and they just run away from it like they should have never written this episode because they can't make the point that the episode is making, which is you cannot outsource drones and all of this work to Eric Prince and
No.
Blackwater. That's the whole point of this episode. And they walk away from it, they hide it under it. They don't ever talk about, like, why doesn't Prentice or why doesn't Alves say how horrible this is?
Yeah. That
Why
mercenaries are going out there and killing
that
people.
this poor kid who
Yeah.
wasn't even a mercenary,
Yeah.
he wasn't. He was just, they hired him because he was a gamer
Yep. And
and
they
because
wanted
he
to test
was a
out
pro.
whether gamers would be able to fly the drones.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, they wanted to,
They
they're
cared
like, they've
so
got these
much.
people who have great reflexes and they're trained at, you know, virtual combat. And Last Starfighter style, maybe we can build a way to control drones that'll make it more gamified, and then boom, you'll have people who are ready to go.
Yeah, and this is, and I think that somebody thought they were writing a Starfighter, a last
A
Starfighter
starfighter type of thing.
episode, but that's not what they were writing. Not in this political climate of, this is October 18th, 2017. Donald Trump has been president for almost a year now.
Yep.
And you're doing this episode and you're not dealing with what the episode said. Now, if in the future some of the parents of the children that were killed in that drone strike come back and decide to kill everybody involved, hey,
Yeah.
okay, but that's never going to happen.
No.
Like, I was just, it floored me. You can't do a last Starfighter episode.
No, it's insane. It's insane
It's
that they tried to
insane.
do this at all,
And
and
then
the
the Department.
execution is just insulting.
Okay, and then the Department of Homeland Security gives up its control
Jurisdiction
to
over it?
its jurisdiction to the BAU. Are you
I
kidding me?
know. Are you delusional?
I'm sitting here going, the whole episode was, as you just said, delusional.
Yeah.
Doesn't even deal, and the meanwhile part, and Prentice and Alves is delusional too. Don't tell me. I mean, the whole thing was just full of crap.
Yeah. Well, no, here's another thing that bothers me, right? How on earth did this guy find out who coded the interface that he was using? Like, it's not their fault you killed a bunch of kids. It's the corporation's fault.
You should be sending your drone off to,
To shoot up Eric Prince's office.
yeah,
Like,
just
and
send
but I mean,
your
not
drone in
only
there.
like not only does he have no motive to kill those people, how did he even find out who they are? They were sitting in a room somewhere coding, and yeah, I'm sure he gave comments on the interface and whatnot, but he wouldn't have direct, there's no reason for him to have directly dealt with the coders, and even if he did, how would he have ever found out their first and last names and where they worked and lived? There's just no conceivable way he could have had that
Well,
information.
I think what they're sort of trying to say, because of course it is It is Emily Rose from Haven, Parker from
Right.
Haven.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was the lead, right, in
Yeah.
Haven.
Oh, right, of course. I knew I
Yeah,
recognized her.
that's who she was, right?
Nice.
She was wonderful in Haven. But
Yeah,
anyway,
absolutely.
I think what they want to say is that she hired all of these people,
Yeah.
like the coders and the gamers,
Yeah.
and put them in a room together.
Which is just not believable at
Okay,
all.
I'm not telling you whether it's believable, but that is the
Yeah,
impression
that is, you're
that
right.
I
That is the
get.
implication of the
The
episode.
implication is that they were a separate unit. She controlled them all, and
Yeah.
they all worked in the same area.
Which is
And I'm not
ludicrous.
sure that, like, I'm still not sure in that episode whether the guy knew he was actually, like, as he was testing this drone
Oh
out,
no, he knew he was
whether.
actually killing people. He just told them it was
Oh,
for the
that's
gov.
right.
Yeah, no, he
No,
knew he was actually
it
killing
was
people. He just thought it was enemies of America.
terrorists. Yeah, he thought they were terrorists,
Yeah.
and then he found out that he had killed a
Children.
school full of children.
No. No, because he was told, what he was mad at was he was told it was like a game and he was helping America. It was like playing a game to help America, and he was betrayed because he'd actually been murdering children. Yeah. And so then we get to the truly preposterous part of the episode, which is he kidnaps her, and, you know, she talks him into putting his gun down briefly, and she shoots him and runs away, which, good for her, smart thing to do. And then at that same moment, Eric Prince has someone hack into his drone and shoot him 40 times. And then we get the craziest thing in the episode, which is the sorry, which is that they the she goes to the hospital, and Eric Prince, instead of calling a lawyer and bringing her over a contract with a non-disclosure agreement and a check for $150,000,
Or
which is what he
quarter of a
would do in
million,
that situation, or a quarter of
yes,
$1 million,
or a
right?
million,
Yeah, a million, you never know.
This is
Which
big.
is
This is a
exact, yeah,
big
this
problem.
big business, which is exactly what he'd do. He sends a man in a cop uniform to shoot her in the middle of a crowded hospital with a non-silenced pistol.
I know. Give me a freaking break.
Are you crazy?
Oh, the episode was just—you just kind of watched it, and it was so, like, there were a million things that made it bizarre.
Okay. Yeah, but I
So,
mean that
you know,
scene. But
yeah.
the idea that, oh, well, and then of course they're
And
going
then
to arrest. They're going to arrest him. I'm like, yeah, they're not going to get to arrest him though.
they're not going to get anywhere near Eric Prince. Excuse me, whatever his name was.
Well, no, we'll just call him Eric Prince. I mean, that's just honest. I mean, to call him anything but Eric Prince is dishonest.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Who he was supposed to be. Oh, Mr. X?
What are you talking about?
I just looked at the Criminal Minds, his
Mr. X would
IMDb.
be the hitman, wouldn't it?
Well, it says he's Mr. X in Killer App. And I'm going, no, he wasn't Mr. X in Killer App.
Wallace Langham?
Yeah, that's what it
It
actually
Bill's
says.
Wallace Langham is Mr. X? No, that character had a name. I don't remember what it was, but he wasn't Mr. X.
That's what it says on the IMDb page.
Okay, well, obviously, whoever wrote the IMDb page made a mistake there. But anyway, the point is, it's like, there's no way this guy's going to jail. And at the end of the episode, they're like, the lady who ran the operation is like, their response is, you're going to be going to jail for years. And I want to raise my hand and be like, why? What did she do that was illegal?
Yeah, nothing.
I honestly don't know what she did that was illegal. She had a government contract to revamp the drone program for Blackwater. That was her job. And she did her job. And all of the people who got killed were not Americans. And at the end of the episode was like, you're gonna go to jail for a long time, lady. And I'm like, why? Like, I know what Wallace Langham did was illegal, sending a murderer. Like, but until Wallace Langham sent a murderer to a hospital
Hospital.
to shoot her, he hadn't committed a crime.
Well, except redoing re hacking the drone and killing the guy.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. He also
Yeah.
hacked the drone and killed the guy. You're right. I'm
Yeah.
sorry. I
So
forgot about that.
he's
He'd
committed
committed two
crimes.
crimes, yes. But she hasn't committed any crimes. And again, and I can't stress this enough, if he didn't bother hacking the drone and killing the unsub, he wouldn't have committed any crimes. Also, they're going to have a hell of a hard time proving that he hacked that drone.
So they'll only get the shooter for attempted, and
Yeah,
then
and if
they'll
he doesn't
only get
testify
him.
against Wallace Langham, then if he doesn't testify against Wallace Langham, they'll get nothing on Wallace Langham.
No,
And again,
because
he can just call up his sister who works for the president and get pardoned. But Trump famously loves pardoning war criminals. Like, that's
well,
just something he likes to do.
yeah, well, yes, you shouldn't have said that, because I'm sure that that's why some of these cops think that they can get away with whatever they get
Oh,
away with,
absolutely. Well,
because
yeah.
Donald Trump's going to pardon them anyway.
Oh, absolutely. That's totally why they think that. I mean, they're living in a dream world. I mean, Donald Trump created an atmosphere where, now, I think we all remember
Let's stop.
No. One thing I just want to point out that it's like it's not coming out of the way they think that, because he has created an atmosphere where people honestly think, because of Joe Arpaio, that if you're pro-Trump enough, he'll just pardon you for whatever crimes you commit. Now, that's not true, but that's what people think, and it's created a culture of lawlessness within all of these
We have to save
organizations.
that. We have to save that for our
For
Sunday
now, we'll
show.
save that for our
We'll discuss that in our Sunday show,
Yeah,
because that's, yeah.
but this is one of the craziest, stupidest episodes of Criminal Minds I've
Yeah,
ever seen.
none of it works. Like,
No, not
none of it
one
works.
bit of it makes a lick of
Like,
sense or works at all.
particularly when they go to this end and say, yeah, no, they had government contracts. They did exactly what they were supposed to do.
Yep.
And yeah, okay,
It
and
went
the burger,
badly.
it went badly,
But
but he
that
had done a
doesn't.
bunch of missions before that that went well,
Yeah.
and then that one went badly. So, and that one would have been covered up. Like, there's absolutely nothing about this episode that makes any sense. And nobody in the BAU makes any comment. Like,
Yeah.
even if, I mean, I would have expected Luke Alves, at least, given his experience in Afghanistan, to have said something about
Who
this.
said anything about this?
Yeah.
But
So.
he's just like, yeah, I ran into some of those guys in Afghanistan, and they're mercenaries. I don't really trust them. Is as far as he gets.
Yeah, and it
Like,
never goes anywhere. Like, this
nope.
is a political episode. You would never get this on. I mean, I don't know why you crapped all over NCIS, because
No, I was just kidding about
no,
NCIS.
it's not NCIS.
Oh, no,
This
just
is this
NCIS
is
has crazy, stupid sci-fi stuff happen all the time. That's why I mentioned it.
No, but never,
Would they
never
do
would
something
you
this dumb? No,
do
you're right.
no, it's not just that. They make their comments. When they're dealing with their Blackwater company in NCIS New Orleans,
Yeah. Oh,
oh
you're
my
right. No, yeah.
God.
They had a lot to say about Blackwater and NCIS New Orleans. Not as intense as what our beloved, long lamented the loss of show Jericho had to say about
Oh God,
Blackwater.
yes, yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
damn.
And that was before Trump.
And that was before
Long
Trump.
before Trump.
But yeah, so no, this episode is it's crazy because this episode, it's one of those things. I always talk about how they're never political. And that's what makes this episode so crazy is the show's desperation to not be political means you can't do this episode because this is an inherently political
Political.
subject. And they try to be completely apolitical when discussing this 100% political subject. And they tie themselves in knots to not implicate the American government in all of this.
Yeah, because it is clear this unsub, yes, okay, he became unhinged. Well,
Yep.
you can understand why he became unhinged. So he picked the wrong people to kill.
Yep.
Okay,
But
yeah,
that's
he
what I
was
completely
unhinged
get why
when he
he did
first.
it, and he was
Yeah.
unhinged by the stuff the government asked him to
And so
do.
and they solved the problem by having him be killed.
I know. So they don't have to address the bigger issue.
The
I
bigger
know.
issue. Yeah.
Yeah, because if that character is alive to talk, it would call into question the entire way America is waging the quote unquote war on terror. And to avoid that conversation, the character has to die.
And then
No,
nothing
it's.
happened.
And then, yeah, nothing. Oh, well. Oh, no. Emily makes one phone call, and suddenly Blackwater is shut down as a
Yeah,
corporation.
bullshit.
I know, right? Yeah. A happy time fantasy land.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, shall we? Give me
No,
a break.
absolutely. It's obscene. It
Yeah.
is literally obscene. So yeah, that was Killer App, one of the worst episodes of Criminal Minds this year. And that's a long list.
Yeah, and it's just because this should have never passed into the writing room
No,
because
absolutely.
they
Like, they
can't
should have
do it.
killed this at the outline stage.
Yeah, at the outline stage, this episode should have been just killed. That's it.
I
Okay.
it wouldn't surprise me though if like the first draft did have a lot of political stuff in it,
Yeah.
and they were told to take all of that out, and it was too late to just cancel the episode.
Well,
That wouldn't
and
shock me.
given that this would have been after Beyond Borders got abruptly canceled,
Canceled. Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So,
Who the hell? Yeah, that could have factored in. I
that
mean,
could have
it's not
factored in as
impossible.
well.
It's not impossible.
Yeah, because remember, Trump has been in for about a year now,
Yeah.
almost a year.
And so maybe it was political. Maybe someone legitimately like NCIS New Orleans was trying to say something about mercenaries,
Yeah.
right? And something about the hugely immoral way America is fighting its wars. And then the, standards and practices came in and said, no, you can't criticize the government. You can't blah, 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 blah. You know, it sounds very bleak to put it that way, but that could be true.
Yeah, when did Les Moonves go down?
2017, I think. Or beginning, no, it might have been the beginning of 2018.
I think it was a little later.
Yeah, it's 2018, you're right. But yeah, fascinating.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh
Anyway,
yeah,
let's
because it went
go.
down when we were, yeah, okay, you're right. It was
Yeah.
2018 because it had only happened recently when we started the show at the end of 2018. So yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right, you're right, you're right. All
Okay.
right.
Let's
So yeah,
move
no, so
on
he was
to.
still there at this time. Not that we're saying he's 100% responsible. We have no idea. Let's move on to another one of the dumbest episodes they've ever done.
Well, no, this is another one of those episodes where they decide to take on psychiatrists.
Psychiatry, I know.
Yeah. Like, oh God, help me. Do we
Yeah.
have to talk about Lucky Strikes? I guess
We
we do.
do. We really do.
Oh, at least there's a period in these three lines. Okay. When a Floridian prostitute is found dead with both legs severed and several fingers cut off, the BAU sets out to determine if cannibalistic killer Floyd Phelan Farrell has embarked on another spree or if a copycat killer is framing him. Meanwhile, former SSA Derek Morgan visits Garcia after she becomes overwhelmed by memories of a 10-year-old trauma.
Okay. That's 100% accurate.
Yep.
Wait, thumbs up
No
to that
complaint.
description.
Nope.
No complaint. That was a really good synopsis, whoever wrote that one. So here's my issue. How do you bring back Derek Morgan for this? Because Lucky was not a great episode of television. It just wasn't. It was an accurate, well, not accurate, but a semi-accurate retelling of the story of, I think his name is Benjamin or Nathaniel Bar-Jonah, a crazy child molester and cannibal who went to jail for, like attacking children and then kept getting out of jail because his, societally connected mother would just keep saying that, oh no, he won't do it bad again. He's under treatment, blah, 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 blah. And he kept getting out of jail over and over again until he actually, clubbed and ate children, and then he went away forever. And so it's like it is an amazing. The true story is merely amazing and horrifying because it's just how the privileged can literally get away with murder for way too long, and only once his mother wasn't there to cover for him did he go away forever. And so that is what it was based on. And the only truly interesting thing about that episode was the priest's journey. And Morgan's grappling with his Catholicism. Right? That's the only really interesting things about the episode was the religious aspect to the whole thing.
You mean, are you talking about the one
The
way back
original. Yeah, the
when?
original. I'm
Okay,
sorry, I should have
the
made that clear.
episode of Criminal Minds. I'm going, wait. Okay,
Yeah.
yeah, okay.
That was the only interesting thing
Yeah.
about the original. Was the exploration of this guy's religious delusions, what it meant to Derek, the question of if you believe in the devil, blah, 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 right? That stuff was the only really interesting thing about the episode Lucky, which otherwise was just, a passable recitation of the Bar-Jonah story. This episode has none of that. Like, it is completely
Nothing.
abandoned. The priest isn't even back.
Nothing is.
How
Oh.
did they not get the priest back?
Yeah. Instead, we've got a couple of nuns floating
Yeah, I
around.
know. Yeah, like, where is the priest? The priest was the friggin' central character of that whole episode. His, crisis of faith after being faced with this Satanist who fed him one of his parishioners. Like, what has happened? I want to know what happened to that character. I can't be alone in wanting to know what happened to that character, can I?
No.
No, why? How do you not see that that's the story you needed to follow up on? Right,
And
it's.
considering that Jim Clemente wrote it, he knows about the previous episode.
Because, yeah, he worked on that one. I mean, did he write? No, he didn't write that one, but
No,
he was
no. Oh,
there.
no.
Oh,
He
yeah, that
wasn't
was before he
writing
was
at that
writing.
point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was there. He can tell them what happened in that episode. He should know the only interesting thing about that episode was the Catholicism stuff and the trying to deal with the conflict between good and evil stuff. Like, that's, like, is the devil a creation? How can the devil be real if God isn't? But why would God allow that kind of suffering to exist? Like, these issues are the only thing that was interesting in that episode, and this sequel abandons all of it for a comically preposterous plot. In
Yeah.
this episode, and I want to stress this, and you tell me if I miss something here, they say over and over again that there was no real evidence linking Floyd to the murders because he kept that woman that he clubbed and put in his car blindfolded the whole time. And I'm like, inside his house, there were the bodies of four women in a freezer cut up.
Well, as I said, I mean, all I can say about this is that it goes to my point that none of them have they've all got short-term memory loss.
Yeah.
They all have Alzheimer's. That's it. I mean, yeah. What do you mean? I mean, I'm looking at that lawyer and, oh, give me a freaking break.
When his doctor says, I don't believe he actually lived out his fantasies. What about the three frozen corpses in his house?
Say what? Yeah, I know. I mean, it's as I
Woman
said.
who he literally was about to kill when they busted in and arrested him.
Alzheimer's.
Like,
They've all got
this is a
Alzheimer's.
sequel to an episode that didn't happen. Like, what?
What? Yeah, the whole business in the psychiatrist. No. Freaking psychiatrist, given what he did. For those of us who do remember the original episode,
Yeah.
there is no way. There's no way he would have been allowed out on
Day
weekend
passes.
whatever,
Yeah.
and
Weekend furloughs.
weekend furloughs. And I'm going, so he didn't get sent to prison.
No, he went back to a mental institution.
Yes.
Apparently. But, and that's, it's the part that I literally can't wrap my head around, that
No.
we are expected to believe by this episode that there was no evidence that he had
Yeah.
killed anyone, except for all of the bodies in his house.
And the fact that he fed.
He fed. Like,
There
he
was
cut
all
up a
there's all the
woman
DNA in the food.
in the chili. Yes, in the leftover chili. What the hell am I watching? Oh my God.
It doesn't even bear talking about.
Oh
It
no,
is
it's
so.
that stupid an episode, which, and it has one of the most, it's interesting because it's like it's one of those episodes where they basically solve nothing. They just like they go to the location that like they asked the woman what happened with the car, and she was like, well, we stopped at this warehouse on the way home. And I'm like, why did they stop at that warehouse on the way back to the place? So they go to that warehouse and there's a dead body there, and the dead body is the girlfriend of the killer's sister. So it's not hard to figure out at all who the killer is. But then we get the most hilarious moment, because you know how I always talk about how they do really stupid, not unbelievable investigative things just so that they can have the characters figure something out that should have been patently obvious. So literally, they're talking to the sister of the killer, right? They're talking to the sister of the killer, and she's like, he recently went nut, he recently got better and got over some of his stuff because he started going to church. And then they immediately leave the room and start talking church. Is there a chance he could have met Floyd at the church and Floyd started brainwashing him? And then they're like, wait a minute. And then Daniel's like, sorry, Matt is like, wait a minute. I think I saw that guy at the church where we grabbed Floyd. And they do all this conversation, right? And I'm like, you know, you could have just asked her what church he went to. You have the witness right there. Why did you leave the room before asking what church he went to?
Yeah, I know. I
Like,
know.
what are
I
you
know.
doing?
Well, this is another episode that could have, hit the
Yeah.
cutting room floor.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. Like, if it wasn't a follow, like if it was his own episode,
Yeah.
that had nothing to do with anything or whatever. I don't know. They could have just. I never mind. I
Yeah,
mean,
you're trying to weigh it. Like,
that.
we used to, and what I love about, and people who've listened to this show all the way through, thank you so much for listening to it all the way through. But what you might notice is, back in the early days, we used to look at, or the early days, oh my God, I'm acting like we're some sort of long-running institution. But anyway, in
Well,
the
it'll be
early,
2 years in
it'll
December,
be
so
two,
it's a
that's
year and a
true, yeah.
half.
There you go. But anyway, yeah, we've already been doing this a year and a half. But the point I'm getting at is, back when we were talking about seasons one through like seven, and even into the later, bad season, like really bad post the create well post the original showrunner seasons,
Yeah.
right? Well into the Erica Messer seasons, okay. Like you will have heard that a lot of the time we're like, if you had done X, Y, or Z, you could have saved this episode,
Yeah.
right? If you had done X, Y, or Z, this episode would have worked if X. I mean, I think our most famous example is The Wonderful Pleasure Is My Business, which
Yes.
is such a good episode if her dad had been molesting her whole life.
Yeah, that's all it needed.
And she
That's.
aged out of being molested by her dad.
Yeah.
All you had to do is change that, and boom, you've got a legitimately really good episode of television.
Yeah.
And it's like one, sh and we used to all the time be able to say, here's the one thing they had to do to go from a bad
Yeah.
episode of television to a really good episode of television. And you'll notice that we've stopped doing that. There's nothing to save anymore. Every episode of this show is, to use, a home renovation term, a teardown. Like it would be better to destroy this episode and build something new on the hole in the ground that was left than to try and fix this episode. Like it's unfixable. It's that bad. It is fundamentally flawed at its core in every way. And now, can we get to literally the dumbest thing in the entire episode? Okay? The
Okay.
dumbest thing in the entire episode. They catch the murderer before he can kill the one that got away, right? The woman
Yes.
who they rescued from Floyd back in the day 10 years ago. And he says, I killed everybody back in the day. Floyd is innocent. And then he slashes his own throat. My question, and then Joe says, Joe. Then David Rossi says, damn it, with that dying declaration,
What's his
he's
face is
gonna
gonna get off?
get
Give
off.
me a freaking break.
To which I respond, I don't see any reporters around. I don't see a tape recorder. Who's gonna tell anybody that that dying declaration happened? So, like, David, you've executed two people. Executed two people for killing someone you liked. That you've done that twice. And now suddenly you care so much about law and order that you're going to spring a murderer from prison by giving his legal defense team a piece of information that is a lie? How? Why on earth, I don't believe the characters would do that. I sure as hell don't believe the rest of them would do it. I 100% know for a fact David Rossi wouldn't do that.
David Rossi, our meta
No
David
way.
Rossi, would never do
Never.
that.
Of course he wouldn't. Why would he? Like, there's under no circumstances would he ever do that, period. Now, can I bring up something related?
Okay. What the hell? We
No,
have to
no.
fill up an hour.
I know, I know, I know. Well, we still got another episode to talk about. So they want to go and essentially they're turning over the piece of evidence necessary to Spring. They're turning over to Spring Jamie Kennedy. By the way, it's Jamie Kennedy back. I mean, it's an okay performance, but he was so much scarier in the first episode where he never spoke.
Yeah.
He's so intimidating in that first episode, and he's not intimidating at all this time.
Well,
And I know he's not.
that's because he's gone through therapy.
Yeah, right. Okay. But the point I'm getting at is, all right, here's what bothers me when I watch the when I watch the episode. So the whole theory that his lawyer is basing this on, right, is that the copycat killer had mentally taken control of Jamie Kennedy. He had turned him into his servant. He had made him do whatever he wanted. He had gotten him to take credit for his crime. When it would look like they were going to get caught, he got Jamie Kennedy to take credit for his crimes. And the whole time, he had been under this guy's mental control. That is their theory of the case. And David and company help their theory of the case when they bring the copycat's dying declaration that he killed everyone and Jamie Kennedy was just his slave. Right? So that is everything I've said is 100% accurate to the scene and the plot of the episode. Would you agree with that sentiment?
Oh, yeah, that
Okay,
seems to
yeah,
be what
okay.
happened.
100%, I have just accurately described everything that happens in the episode. So now I'm going to ask you something. How does Jamie Kennedy's having a prostitute's fingers in his stomach disprove any of that?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't in any way, shape, or form, because
Because
all
it.
Jamie Kennedy's lawyer has to say is once he got out of jail, the guy resumed manipulating Jamie Kennedy. And he gave, J and this guy who had controlled Jamie Kennedy's life for years told him, eat these fingers, and Jamie Kennedy continued following his orders. The show acts like this is like a critical moment. Oh, well, he actually ate the flesh. He must be the ringleader all along. But no, him eating those fingers is 100% consistent with the fake lie he's been telling this whole time.
Well, yes, but then again, don't even bother. Don't
I
even
know,
bother
I know.
because
It's a teardown. I know.
it's a tear down. I mean, it was just, I mean, you just watch these episodes and go, okay, like, how is this again, right? I guess I'm glad they got to 15 is, sort of 3 times 5. So it's, kind of this,
A nice round number.
a
it is
nice
it's a
round
nice
number,
yeah it's a
but they,
holy number. I get
I
it.
mean, I'm just going, so much of this now is just ho hum and really
Every episode, like every episode this year.
cutting floor. How the hell didn't you cut this thing at the outline stage?
I have yet to see an episode this year. We're 6 episodes in. I have yet to see one that needed to exist.
Well, I guess Erica is just so depressed over Beyond Borders being canceled.
That she is completely phoning it in.
Yes, that she's completely phoning it in
Well,
because
speaking of
that's
phoning it
depression.
in, if you go back and you look at the car chase in episode 4, you will see what I'm talking about, that their car no longer has a license plate on
Yeah, I
it.
know. Phoning it in,
It's
who
quite
cares
obvious. Yeah,
anymore?
nobody cares anymore.
Yeah,
And this episode is a perfect example of that.
and bringing Derek Morgan in to visit Garcia. First of all, why hasn't Garcia been in therapy dealing with this all along? But
Yeah.
that's
They hate
absolutely dumb.
therapists.
That's a dumb question because
Yeah,
we
they
all
hate
know that
therapists. We know that.
none of them need therapists.
No,
So,
of course not.
all of a sudden she gets hit with PTSD because it's this guy again. I'm sorry, but never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to the bunker.
Well, one last thing before I
Oh, I
continue,
don't know,
which is,
please.
no, but before we continue, one last thing. I don't, did I, did they explain why JJ didn't go with them to work on the case?
Oh no, they didn't really accept Prentice at one point. It must have got went like in editing. They
Yeah, there's
probably
like a scene they
cut
cut out
together.
explaining
Yeah,
that.
because what happened is Prentice says she wants to talk to JJ, and I think that what got cut was Prentice telling JJ that she wanted her to stay back to take care of Garcia because
Yeah.
Garcia was clearly
Was gonna
falling
have some
apart.
sort of, yeah. because it was bringing up memories of the time she got shot.
Yeah, so I think that it probably they had to cut something for time, and that was an easy one to cut.
Oh no,
because
totally.
It is weird though.
Like yeah. It is weird that she's not there.
Well, yeah, I know, but somebody had to stay to take care of Garcia because Penelope was falling apart.
That's true. And obviously that's true. But you know, could have just phoned Derek. Although, the scene, not really reflective of their relationship up to this point. Let's just say Derek is, you know, smartened up a little and calmed down a little now that he just flips houses full time.
Yeah, and has got a child and is married.
And has got a child. Yeah, he is relaxed. Still not a great person, but he is there for Garcia when she needs it, which is nice.
Yes.
All right, so let's move on. Oh, please. Now can you? Yes, of course. Go.
The bunker. The funny thing is I didn't remember this one. But anyway.
I had forgotten it.
I'm watching it, I'm going, okay, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. When a chef from Richmond, Virginia mysteriously disappears from her place of work, the BAU sets out to connect the abduction to a series of missing persons cases in both Richmond and Culpeper. Meanwhile, JJ connects with a potential victim's sister. No. With a victim's sister.
Yeah.
Well, I guess potential victim, you could say.
Yeah, because they don't know for sure. Yeah, they don't know.
And Garcia searches for a new apartment.
It's weird that, what do you call it? They didn't tie. Like, she makes some joke about her neighbor, you know, being naked yoga, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no, Garcia, you want to move because you just got re-traumatized about the time you got shot in your own friggin' courtyard.
And you
that's why you want to move.
Like, I don't know why she stayed in that place anyway.
I know, but she spent another 10 years in the apartment where she got caught in the courtyard. Well, no, I think we know why. Shot in the courtyard. I think we know why. Because she was living in denial.
Yeah.
And what happened this past week broke through her denial. And she's like, oh my God, I've been living in frigging limbo this whole time.
I've got to get out of here.
And that's obviously what's happening, and it's weird that the show doesn't acknowledge that that's what's happening.
Well, yeah, because the show doesn't know that that's what's happening. The writers here, remember, don't understand what's happening. They certainly, they're all profilers, and they can't figure this one out. But, you know, why would they?
It's so bizarre to me watching this, how they keep accidentally having the characters do, like, perfectly logically consistent psychological things. If it was a better written show, but it's like, and not noticing it. Like, how could we not create meta versions of all these characters?
Yeah, I know.
When they're accidentally creating compelling characters without realizing it.
Yeah. And I think that that's what happens. That's probably when we get to the end of this and try to figure out why we're watching it, is because they do create compelling characters. Although I don't think, well, as I said, they don't realize
they don't
it.
Know.
It's, yeah. they don't seem to understand because they are living with the fiction that comes from the showrunner that all of these episodes are not intertwined.
Yeah, that you could, you should be able to just turn on any episode of Criminal Minds and just watch it all the way through without knowing anything going in. And I'm like, that's not true at all.
That doesn't work. It doesn't work, clearly. The
bunker, please. So, it's the kind of episode that goes in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
Where it's like, literally, I thought, you know, I got confused and thought Daniel Roebuck was back this week. And I'm like, no, that was another episode about a bunker. That was a different bunker episode. It's just, you know, Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live is there as a guy who's, running a survivalist bunker because he thinks the world's going to end. And that's it.
I have one question.
Please.
Okay. Okay, so they open up when they find the bunker, right? They find the rock. So.
Yeah.
It's Reed and JJ, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Reed opens the bunker and goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And then JJ goes down.
Yes.
And just as she immediately goes down, the lid of the bunker goes down.
Yeah, I didn't understand
why
that.
Why didn't it go down after Reed went in?
I don't know. Why
Because,
waited
and
for
why
both of
then,
them?
like, it should have gone. I mean, if the whole point is how did that piece of machinery know there were two people to
I
go down
know.
before,
Before it was supposed to close. Really good question.
it's funny. I mean, the stupid things that you end up like, that was the
Noticing
thing
when
that
there's so.
bothered me the most with this
No,
episode.
but when there's so little to care about in an
Yeah.
episode, you focus on the little details.
It was just like dumb. It's like, okay, this is something that somebody should have picked up. This doesn't make any sense. It should have just stayed up, or it should have closed immediately when Reed went down. Because you don't see JJ closing it. Did it have a 10-second delay? No, or a
Maybe.
20-second delay or whatever. It just did, like, I'm just looking at this and going, that doesn't make any sense. Outside of the fact that how the hell did they get these people down there who were drugged?
Unconscious at the time.
You know, some of
I
them,
know there's got to be, the thing is, there's
they
got to
dropped them
be a
down.
different, no, there's a different entrance that has a door you can drive into because he's obviously bringing supplies in.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a farm down there.
Yeah, and what
He's
is this?
obviously still bringing in supplies.
Yeah, so there must be another way in and another way, you know. I mean, it's just like, yeah, they haven't hired a botanist. And why haven't they hired a botanist?
Yeah, and built an underground greenhouse.
Because that's what, if you were.
Yeah, the first person you would get is a botanist before you got like a dentist.
Yeah,
You know?
you would start with creating, you would have to create, if the
Self-sustaining,
world
yeah.
has a self-sustaining environment, which means you have to basically do what Star Trek, the Enterprise does. You have to have this huge room where you grow stuff.
Yeah. No, you have to grow your own food. Like,
Yeah,
that's
I
just
mean,
what you have to do.
Babylon
We all
Princess.
saw Babylon 5, right? Babylon 5, the giant farmland inside the city, inside the station. Like, we never got any scene set there, but whenever they're going through that big elevator, you see that there is a giant amount of farmland at the center of Babylon 5.
Yes,
Because there would have to be.
in which they grow coffee.
Yes.
Not
Well, they
supposed
grow a
to, but
bunch
they do.
they grow a lot of crops, but they do grow coffee, yes. You know, which is God, such a wonderful show. But it understands that it's like you've got to be self-sustaining. Like, because if these two legitimately believe the world is going to end at some
It
point, which they
has
seem
ended.
to. Yeah, no, I'm saying the characters who are running the place,
Oh,
who
yeah,
know it
that's right.
hasn't ended. But they believe it's going to end at some point,
Soon.
and ergo, where are their facilities to keep lasting when they can't go to the store anymore?
Yeah, because they're still going to the store to buy things,
Yeah, they're still
clearly.
going to the store to buy new supplies. I know that because, MREs don't last that long, and it's already been 6 years they've been doing this. So I know they're still getting outside supplies. And the question becomes, well, why aren't they doing more?
Why haven't they? I mean, the thing is, if you're going to think this thing through, that's what you have to do. You have to think Star Trek. You have to think Babylon 5. You have to think space stations.
Oh yeah. And
You
my
know.
question to you is, I mean, I don't, I'm not telling them how to do their underground, nightmare hovel place. Why did you bring a chef? I really don't think quality of meals is that an important consideration when you're dealing with the end of the
No,
world.
you understand the obstetrician.
Yeah, the anesthetician, dentist, that I get, right? I totally get that.
And you can even understand they replaced the obstetrician with a pediatrician who could do the obstetrics for the most part.
Exactly. Well, no,
Besides,
but you
when they
don't
bring
need
in,
obstetrician anymore because nobody else is getting pregnant down there. They've already had the
well, no,
kids.
but they could, but he could still be bringing in more children,
That's true. He could still be bringing in more
more
work. Yeah.
pregnant women, right?
That's true. That could have happened.
Yeah. So, you know, you're sort of sitting there
Yeah. The
going.
logic of that, it that that makes it, you're right. That makes internal logical sense. But a chef?
Yeah.
Like,
Like people don't know
why?
how to cook. Maybe
They
that's
well, they've
it.
been
Maybe
cooking for
no.
6 years.
Yeah, I know.
They've been running this place for 6 years. The friggin' kid is 5 years old.
Yeah.
You
You
know, like
have
you
all of
saw
these
that kid.
children. Yeah, you
You
have
got
all
all
of
these
these
kids.
children.
Yeah. Right? Like the Joe, little Joe is 5 years old. So, like they've been cooking and living just fine. Why do they suddenly decide they need a chef? That didn't make a lick of sense to me.
No, I don't know. I mean, what would have made more sense to bring in if they were going to
No, as you
kidnap
said, a
someone, a
botanist.
botanist, to put in a garden and
Yeah, to
everything
like
else?
start like we're having trouble getting our like our greenhouse running because we need and actually that would have made perfect sense if they were saying, well, we need our place to be self-sufficient. Like we at some point I mean, we've already got water recycling working or whatever, however they're doing it, right? We've already got the groundwater cycling and however that works going, and we've got our water treatment, but we're having trouble getting the greenhouse working, so we need to bring in a botanist to make sure we can grow. Or just a woman who works at a farm. Like even if it's not a scientific botanist, it can be a woman who works in independent small farming, something like that. But the idea that they brought in a chef is just ludicrous.
Yeah, like nobody thinks these things through. It's like when they create those biodomes,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
It's exactly that. The biodome, yes, okay, so it's above ground or whatever. It doesn't have to be, but they have to grow their own food. And with the number of people they've got, it's going to have to be X amount. And I'm going, and where are they getting? They've got the vitamin D issue. They've got the calcium issue. So they have to have things like, God help me, broccoli, right? If you want your calcium, like they should have brought, if they had brought in a nutritionist, because a chef is not a nutritionist. Even if they had brought in a nutritionist, I would have understood.
But yeah, a chef makes zero
You know,
sense.
like a nutritionist, like my niece, right? My niece is a nutritionist. Yeah, it would make sense to bring her in,
Yeah, it
right?
makes you, because at least then you would understand, well, okay, it's someone designing meals for people who are going to be underground for the next 20 years.
For the next 20 years, then you have to be able to balance. Like the vitamin D is a real issue.
Oh, of course.
You know,
They're getting zero
you've got
sunlight.
iodine, you've got things like iodine, and because I mean, our world, they put iodine in table salt, you know. Anyway, there's all sorts of other issues around all of those things, right? Or did they stock up on multivitamins? I don't know, you know, like I'm
Yeah.
going, but a nutritionist, some
Would
kind
have been
of
believable.
a
And it
farmer.
would have been believable. Yeah, a farmer, a nutritionist, something. But it honestly
Do they
felt
keep
like the person who was
chickens?
writing this episode was like, the biggest issue for me if I was in a bunker for 20 years would be eating the same thing every day. So probably they would want a chef too. And I'm like, no, you idiot. They're worried about the end of the world. Getting bored about what you're eating is not a consideration that anyone is concerned
Well, I
about.
suppose UV lamps. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think they could handle
Yeah,
sunlight.
but
Yeah,
your
but
our job here, by the way,
yeah.
our job here is not to figure out how to run a better bunker. It's to point out that why on earth do Reed and JJ go in with zero backup?
Unbelievable. Well, yeah, no.
No, I'll tell
That's
you, and I'll tell
the
you what
number one
really bothered me
question.
about it. There is zero time pressure on these characters.
Nobody's being killed. Nobody's hurt.
We
Even the
know
doctor
that
committed
we know
suicide.
that the nurse, we know that the nurse, oh my God.
The
We know that
doctor.
the chef is holding a knife to the throat of the one of the two women,
Yeah.
sorry, one of the two people who runs the place. Like we know that's happening. So we know there's a time pressure. The characters don't. They have ample time to call the whole team, to call in SWAT, to breach doors if they have to do a full assessment of how big this place is, and maybe look for the hangar door that they could have just driven into, rather than walking into what could have easily been a trap.
Yeah, and which it
Right?
was.
Which it was. There was a locking door to hold them in. I mean, he didn't have poison gas to go into that door, thank God, but he could have. He could have had it rigged to just load a bunch of CO2 into that room and kill them. He didn't. But there's no reason to assume he wouldn't. And that's what's so crazy about this episode, right? Is like, even at the end, you have the characters doing these idiotic things for no reason except to add a little bit of drama to what is one of the most limp and uninteresting episodes of Criminal Minds there is.
You know, I mean, it's yeah, I mean, you don't get this, you don't get any kind of, like these two characters who are
Running
sure
the.
that the world is going to end soon, the doomsday preppers, you know.
Yeah.
You don't get any sense that there's any kind of a real sort of relationship or or any kind of, you know, it just is.
Well, it's like, how did this get started for them? Why are they, you know, it's like, why have they gone this far and become 100% sure the world is going to end to the point where they're doing this extreme create a new society kind of thing? That's a pretty far road to go down.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, like, because one of the things I was thinking about when I'm looking at this, but they're only bringing in women.
Yeah.
And the women are having children.
Yeah.
Right? And you'd have no, you have absolutely no sense that the man who is doing this
has any twisted sexual harem thing going
on. No, it has nothing to do with that. No, because otherwise they wouldn't bring in a pediatrician. And so are they assuming that they're going to be there 20 some years and then I guess the children, but I mean, I hate to tell you guys, but it turns out that children who grow up together don't tend to want to have sexual relations with children, and the people. This is one of those bizarre things that they learned from the kibbutzes.
Yeah.
Where they set them up and had the children raised communally. And it turns out that the children wanted to marry out of the kibbutz.
Outside of the community. Yeah.
Outside of the community. Because they weren't sexually interested in the people that they grew up with.
Yeah.
Generally
speaking. They all feel like it's one big family.
Yeah, and they just know one another too well. Every now and then you have things, but, you know.
No, it's fascinating.
It's a fascinating thing, right? So, and these children are all they have nurseries. Why don't they have, the pediatrician, why didn't they have a pediatrician in the first place? Because we're going to have all of these children, you know.
Yeah, it seems like they would have planned on that part
a
little. The pediatrician would have been one of the women they kidnapped. You'd think earlier on.
Yeah. And you know, so, and then the doctor who commits suicide.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, why didn't after her first attempt at suicide, right?
Maybe go grab another doctor just to be safe.
Just to be safe, you know.
Because who's supposed to treat her when she tries to kill herself again?
Yeah.
You know,
or is there any way to make her understand that she is necessary in this society?
Exactly.
And
these guys are not good with people.
Like, no, they're not. It's like you look at this, like there's a bunch of things to sort of ask a whole bunch of different questions, but they have nothing to do. I mean, the episode is just poorly put together. But could make this is one of the only episode this week, probably this year so far, but
that
it's only
fixable.
Episode six, that it would take a little more work than we usually have to do to fix it, but you could fix this episode. So
it's not a teardown the way the rest of the season is.
Yeah, you know, first of all, you make both of the characters who are the doomsday preppers a little more interesting.
Oh, yeah, rather than having no character at all, which is what we have, which is what we're dealing with now.
Yeah, and you don't spend as much time with JJ and the sister. Like, you can spend some time, but you don't spend as much time.
Give us a little more time with with the actual society that has built up in there.
Yeah, and
because it's like, spoiler alert, if you want to integrate this woman into the, and this is the real problem with the episode, if you want to integrate this woman into this society, you can't have her the day she gets there meeting everyone and telling them that the world is fine. You have to keep her locked away for months until she's brainwashed.
Yeah. Whereas the younger girls were already, you know, sort of predisposed, it would assume. That's what you have to take from
the
victim's sister, right?
Were already on the fringes.
They were already on the fringes of society, and they were ready to believe all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And they were young enough, like they were like 15, 16, 17, pregnant, didn't know where they were going, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you have to assume that that all of the other girls that they have taken down there are very much like the victim's sister.
Yeah.
Right? Joe's mother.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so so that they can be told these things. But we don't see any of that.
No, there's no evidence of it, and
No.
that's the problem.
And the thing is, it's the chef, and the reason, another reason why the chef is the wrong person to bring in is that you could talk. Like, first of all, you need someone who's potentially a prepper, who might be. But if you brought in someone who was, say, a nutritionist or a botanist, and
Farmer,
gave them this,
obviously.
a farmer, and you gave them this interesting puzzle, you
Yeah,
know,
of how to
it
make
just.
the thing work. That's like, look, the world is coming to an end, so and so. We need to you to make sure we have a sustainable way to live down here.
Yeah.
You're challenging them intellectually
Yeah.
and making the claim you're saving their life. And if you keep them locked away for a friggin' month
Yeah.
before you do all that, it might have a chance of working.
Yeah, you give them like you would give them these books of you know, a whole bunch of new different books about how to set up this thing and whether they think it's going to work. You know, how much water are
Yeah.
they going to need to make this work, and
Exactly.
how are they going to do this when the world has blown up with a series of
Yeah, the environmental
nuclear,
disorders and blah 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 blah.
yeah,
Yeah.
or Trump,
Or
you know,
Trump.
as president. I mean, that would send me into Prepperville, I'll tell you,
I know.
particularly today.
I know. But no, like, there's ways to fix this episode. They just didn't care, and they just d made an episode that ma Seriously. Again, it's brainwashing 101 to take someone and isolate them from the other cultists. Like,
Until.
you know what? Patty Hearst spent the first 2 months locked in a closet.
Yeah.
You know? That's job one of what you have to do here. The idea, like, you're going to upset things if she's like coming in and saying, "Yeah, I just worked in a store and everything's fine." You'll risk upsetting the other people in the cult,
Yeah.
which is exactly what happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, it didn't make, and they couldn't have done that
Yeah.
initially. So, like we have no sense of how these people, how the two people who are running this thing,
Yeah.
how they got there, what they're doing. Like, the episode should be, you can fix, this is the only episode you could fix.
No, we have talked through how to fix this
Yeah,
episode.
and it would,
Absolutely.
yeah.
And it wouldn't actually be that challenging, but like
No.
you said, these people just don't care anymore.
Yeah. You know, and
Fundamentally, the people
yeah.
making the show just don't care anymore. And there's no better evidence for that than the last season, which we're getting close to talking about.
Yeah.
It should be quite a ride. All right, so that's
Okay.
going to be that for these episodes. Can you tell us what are we going to be watching next week?
Yes, I can.
Right, so this is your homework for next week.
1307, 1308, and 1309.
Ooh.
Dust and Bones.
Okay.
Neon Terror.
Which one? Wait, Neon Terror, I know, is the babysitter killer. What's Dust and Bones?
Three women from Austin, Texas, tortured, disfigured, a serial abductor obsessed with a venomous creature.
Wait. Why on earth is the episode about the lady with the forked tongue called Dust and Bones? That's just a weird title for this episode, for that episode.
Meanwhile, Alves tries to help his former fugitive task force partner come to terms with his paralysis.
Oh, okay. Introducing that character, who will quickly be disposed of, but spoiler alert. Anyway.
Anyway, well, we can figure,
And oh, what's the
we'll
third?
work
Sorry,
on it.
what's the third episode? What's the third
Yes.
episode?
The third episode is.
Oh no. Oh no.
Okay, this is False Flag.
No!
Yeah.
Oh! I'm so excited! 1309 False Flag, the worst episode of Criminal Minds.
We'll have fun with this one.
It's going to be a good week next time, and hopefully we'll have gotten over the worries about the state of America by then.
Well,
I have
no,
no
I have,
confidence that we will have,
no, I
but
don't think
hopefully.
I it can't be getting any better.
Positivity is its own reward, okay? So I'm going to be positive.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, we will meet you back here for that. But until then, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have any profiling-related fiction you think we should check out, please drop us a line at profilingcriminalminds@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're listening to this in some sort of a podcatcher or app, be sure to rate and review it because that is how people find the show. We will see you back here next week for what stands to be a pretty amazing week of the show. But until then, I'm going to say au revoir.
And have a good weekend.
Profiling Criminal Minds is a member of the Kinks Podcasting Network.